It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream.
By taking action now.
Here again are Jeff Sloan and Dan Gliske.
All right, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Today brought to you by Walsh College and Comerica Bank. Boy, I'm still buzzing over Hire on Attitude, Train on Skill. Brian Scudamore, you gave us a zinger there. I love it. Welcome back to Startup Nation Radio.
Awesome.
All right. Listen, we had a question from John from New York calling in. And if you've got a question, by the way, 800-859-0957 to reach us on Startup Nation Radio. John asked a question about a key move gone bad with best intentions. Do you think you're brilliant? Brian, did you make one and how did it go?
Yeah, plenty. And I think as an entrepreneur, you've got to make mistakes, but then be okay with the fact that you've made a mistake. Just learn from it and don't repeat it. So one of the biggest mistakes, so if we're talking about key moves that are bad ones, I'm going to call it a mistake. And one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was I recruited in about 2007, I recruited a president, an ex-president of Starbucks to run my company. And she came in and, you know what, 14 months of trying to get the business going in the right direction during a tough economy. Together, I think we just about bankrupted the business. And you work 20 years of your life to build something. Wow. And then just about lose it. The mistake was I brought someone in, a seasoned exec who had built up their U.S. operations, and she was not the right cultural fit for my business. I don't think she believed in me as an entrepreneur, and we didn't work well together. So while we tried and everything seemed to be amicable, I think there were roots there where she didn't believe in me and didn't believe in the vision and was trying to take the company a different direction. We overspent and almost spent our way into bankruptcy. Now, fortunately, we recovered nicely over the last 5 years. But wow, what a tough move. And it's all about finding the right people.
Yeah, it is indeed. And I'll tell you another thing it's all about. It's all, you know, the key moves when you look back, that whether you put yourself in the right position to be quote unquote lucky, or, you know, the key moves you look back on and say, that was conventional wisdom. I did that. I did it right. I executed. It led me to great success. That's one thing. But being able to recover from a mistake,
right,
is really the hallmark of a great entrepreneur. The guys that fight and gals that fight through that, man, that's where the rubber meets the road.
Well, and also, Brian, tremendous respect to be able to share that kind of experience with the world, because we've all been there, we've all made mistakes, and to be able to talk about that, it really takes a lot to be that kind of a leader.
Absolutely, and Brian, can't thank you enough for coming back onto Startup Nation Radio, sharing some wisdom. I've got tenacity, persistence, and vision come right to mind when I listen to you talk and when I hear about some of the key moves you made. Great stuff. Congratulations on all your success, and thanks for being back on Startup Nation Radio.
Well, let's stay in touch, and thank you for having me on the show. Best of luck, guys.
Okay, right
thank
on.
Thank you, Brian.
Right on. And another Startup Nation, I'd like to call him regular, repeat guest.
He's an inspiring guy. I can't wait to spend more time with him in the future on the show.
Absolutely, and we've got another one to follow right on that. We've got another great entrepreneur who was on Startup Nation Radio, made a key move, came on Startup Nation Radio a few years back, talked about a vision for a business, and now we're going to revisit with that entrepreneur who, again, has realized amazing success in a highly competitive market. Dan, who do we have?
Well, before I bring him on, I want to ask you a question. Jack, Jeff, in America, land of hamburgers and hot dogs. What's the number one condiment in America?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I know the answer. So I know the answer, but it does surprise you, doesn't it? I mean, it is the land of ketchup, right? But it's not. It's salsa, isn't it?
Within the last couple of years, salsa has become the number one condiment in America. And today we have on Jack Aronson, one of the founders of Garden Fresh Salsa, the number one brand and largest manufacturer of fresh salsa in both the United States and Canada, and a fantastic success story. They're going to be doing over $100 million in revenue this year. Started out as a restaurateur and started making salsa out the back door. The rest is history. So looking forward to having Jack Aronson on Startup Nation Radio.
With no further ado, we've got him. Jack, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Dan. Nice to hear from you.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Jack, what in the world were you thinking about going out and competing with Frito-Lay and the other big players in that space? What were you thinking?
You know, I had just come back from Albuquerque, the Fiery Food Show, and I had terrific salsa out there. And back home here, all the salsas that were refrigerated were from big companies. They had 120-day shelf life, full of preservatives.
Right.
And cooked bottled salsa was much better. So I just started making a few pints and selling out of the front of my restaurant, Carryout, and one thing led to another.
Now, were you an entrepreneur leading up to that with, you know, a lot of success under your belt, or were you just, I mean, what was your mindset at that point? What did you know? What was your experience base? How did you have the nerve to not only, you know, start up a business, but to start up a business in such a difficult, crowded, competitive space?
Well, you know, I think, you know, there's persistence. You know, I was the old paper boy. I sold sunflower seeds, Christmas cards when I was a kid, and I got in the restaurant business, and, you know, I got the catering started. But, you know, I had the restaurant. You know, I had a little bit of a crutch. You know, I had the restaurant, so I just started selling some pints out of the front of the cooler in front of the restaurant right on Woodward, just north of 8 Mile, you know, the Detroit-Oakland County borderline. And Jim Hiller from Hiller Shopping Center Market came in and said, "This is the best salsa I've ever had. I want to sell this at my supermarket." So at that point, I took, somewhat of a risk. I closed my dining room. I still had carry-out delivery catering, but I closed my dining room and got a Department of Agriculture license and started making salsa. And my kids thought I was nuts.
And so you got it. It sounds like that's a big break. I mean, you know, because getting shelf space is the tough thing, right? I mean, moving from, you know, a small business operating out of your restaurant to actually having shelf space and being in the market there at the, you were selling wholesale and then having the retail exposure that brings. That's a big break, isn't it?
Yeah, it got us started. You know, I thought basically would, you know, help pay some bills at the restaurant. You know, to be honest with you, I wish I could tell you I had this fantastic business plan, but, you know, I guess all I had was a dream to start off. And, you know, like I said, I would get another store, you know, Salvaggio's. I drove around in my car. We worked at the restaurant all day, and then we made salt and chips, and then I put the product in the car, and I did sampling and cold calling, and thank God the Detroit area and Metro Detroit has so many great independent stores, because a lot of places in the country don't have that.
Right.
You've got to get in the whole chain. So supermarkets here in the Metro Detroit area, we've got some of the nicest in the country and a lot of independents.
Jack,
yeah, go ahead.
Jack, while it was a real opportunity, it was a real risk for you to close down your restaurant and all of a sudden start making salsa.
Yeah, I just closed the dining room down. I still had revenue coming in from my carryout, my delivery, and my catering business. So, yeah, I took a risk.
But a completely different business model.
30% of my business. Yep, about 30% of my business.
Wow.
Amazing. All right, now, you let's talk about some key moves. You got that, you know, quote unquote, lucky break. We've already defined luck as working hard, working smart, putting yourself in position to be the recipient of somebody like a Jim Hiller tasting your salsa and saying, "I want to carry that in my stores." Now you've got that. Now what do you do, though? You got to have what's called sell through, right? I mean, it's one thing to get it on the shelves, but it better move off the shelves because, boy, those guys are watching those turns very carefully on their shelves and in a store. How in the world did you go from, you know, having a product on the shelf to having consumers try it and buy it?
We spent basically demos. We don't do a whole lot of advertising. You know, we thought our best advertising was getting it into people's mouths. We really believed in the product. And there wasn't any all-natural sauces, and I was told by many a distributor that, A, we wouldn't be able to have a successful salsa business in this part of the country. B, we could never do it all-natural. And we would never be able to get out of the state of Michigan with an all-natural product. You know, we stayed true to our roots, you know, to this day. And you know, as we talk later on, I'll talk about the HPP machine and how we continued to do the all-natural. We kept working on the shelf life, you know, finding little things, you know,
yeah,
getting rid of the air, making sure everything was super, super sanitary. There's just 15 to 20 things that I do now that I've added over the years to make so that product, an all-natural product, would get a 55-day shelf life.
Right, so let's be clear. The challenge there, and actually, you know, we've had others on the show that talk about getting an all-natural product. It was a fruit drink, right? So
right.
A smoothie, you know, into the retail environment. And the challenges associated with that because of the shelf life issue. So I'm hearing a major key move here. You figured out a way to get to that. You call it 55-day, you said? Shelf life.
55-day shelf life, yeah, on an all-natural product. And then we purchased the HPP machines. I think that would be
now HPP. Sorry,
high
break it down.
High pressure processing. Yeah. Okay. High pressure processing. 87,000 pounds of cold water pressure. We put it on the food for approximately 2 minutes. The food is packaged. It goes into a 110,000 pound chamber. Cold water is pumped in for 2 minutes, and then it's released. It kills single cell organisms. It doesn't affect vitamins or enzymes, but it kills. It's the safest food in the world when it comes out. It kills. Not only yeast, bacteria, and mold, but all the pathogens, E. coli, Salmonella, Listeria, and it triples to quadruples the shelf life. We are sending stuff right now to Asia and Europe.
Wow.
Amazing, amazing. That's clearly a key move, figuring that out and being able to get that product, the natural product, into the retail environment like that. Listen, we're going to continue our discussion with Jack. When we come back after this break, we're going to hear more key moves on how he created a business now doing over $100 million in revenue, and how you might be able to do the same thing if you pay attention and learn from the experts like Jack Aronson. Back in a moment.